Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, it's nice to see everyone here tonight, and I'm glad you all found this new location. We have one more week here, and then we'll be back at the police station. So, in January, because we're not going to have anything on Christmas Day, which is a Monday this year. So, with that said, as usual, I have good news for you. There is a power in the universe for good, and you are part of that power. That power is not only inside of you and all around you. You are actually connected to that power. And we call that a power for good. You can call it God power, cosmic power, anything that you wish to call it. But what to remember about it is that you are one with that power. And you can use that power. And we use that power to bring wonderful things into our life. And the way we do that is by understanding that everything is unity, that everything is connected and interconnected, that everything affects everything else. So when we want to manifest something, we bring that into our mind. We think about that. We build that up into an image. And this universe, because the universe participates with us, it corresponds to what we are thinking, to what we are visualizing. And it will always do that. That is what the universe does. And that is how closely we are connected with that universe. What you observe, the observer and the observed, are one and the same thing. The creator and the creation are one and the same things. And when you can get that inside of you at a level where every part of your being realizes that, then you can give up all the things that the world tells you, which are usually falsehoods. The world deals in facts. The thing that we are talking about deals in what we call truth. The truth is always your whole, complete, and perfect. The truth is there is never dirt on the dish. The dish is never dirty. Meaning, whatever you think you have done in life, you have never touched that part of you. That is your soul, or is your spirit, that cannot be wrecked in any way. It is never touched by anything on the outside of life, unless we decide that it is doing something. Because what we do in life is, oh, hello, how are you? Play a stop?
Yes.
So what we are always doing is participating in the universe, participating in this whole thing. We are not here to be victims. We are not here to allow things just to happen to us. We are here to make things happen. We are here to bring what we want into our lives so that we don't sit around suffering, so we don't sit around complaining that we never get what we want, that this isn't happening and that isn't happening. Those days are gone. Don't let that happen to you anymore. Learn that you are the one that's creating everything in your life. You are always going to be the cause onto your own experience. You're causing the experience. Experience does not create belief. Belief creates experience. So when you learn to change your belief system, when you learn to change what you think about yourself, the whole world changes. Your reality changes. All reality is made from what you perceive it to be. It's all from your perspective. And when you change your perspective, the outside world must change, because we see with our minds, not with our eyes. And that is the little illusion that we have, that the world teaches you that your eyes actually see something. Your eyes see nothing. Your mind sees it. And that's why if you haven't seen anything for the first time, you can't figure out what it is. Because your eyes do not see. It's your mind that sees. So what we are talking about here is this power. And this power works, of course, throughout our entire body. But we use our mind to focus that power. We always are using our mind to control our thinking, to control our body, to control what we want in reality. It is done with our thinking. It is done with our mind. So we can change any belief, any viewpoint, any opinion, or any attitude that we have. We have the power to change that. When you're not getting what you want out of life, look at your belief system, look at your attitudes, your viewpoints, and see if you could change those. Because every time you have anything like that, you're putting yourself in a box, and your mind will not go past that, nor will the universe go past that and say, whoops, you made a mistake, you're in a box, we'll push you out of the box. The universe is very polite. If you want to live in a box, it will allow you to live in a box. When I say live in a box, that it means living in the reality of your belief system. And it will not push you out of that belief system. This thing that we call God never asks us to try harder. God always asks us to believe more. And the more we believe, the more we get from life. The more we believe in ourselves, the more we realize that we totally are lovable, that we're deserving and worthy, the more comes into our life. It just works that way. And the universe loves it when we love ourselves. I like to say that the highest form of worship you can give God is to love yourself. The highest form of worship. And we're taught not to do that. And if you try to love yourself and your mind stops you from doing it, correct that. You must remember that you are not your mind. Your mind is yours. Remember what Mary Baker Eddy said? You must argue with your mind like a lawyer in front of the court, and you must always make sure that you win. You must always win, because your mind will beat you down every time. If you get an idea, the first thing the mind will do to you is tell you five reasons why it won't happen. We'll always do that. The mind does not say, oh, that's a wonderful, great idea, and here are five great reasons why it's going to work. No, it will say, you can't do that because the weather's not right, this isn't right, that isn't right, da-da-da-da-da-da. Why that happens that way, I don't know. My speculation on that is that we are born into a conversation that's already going on. And we're always living in thought atmospheres. And that thought atmosphere has been going on long enough that it has just penetrated us. And our mind just automatically thinks that way because everybody else's mind is thinking that way. So you have to learn to change your mind. And you have to learn to hear what you're saying. And you have to become a witness to your own thinking so that you can grab your thoughts at any moment and change them. And you'll learn to do that. You just grab that thought and say, I don't want that thought. And you just grab it and throw it away. You are not your thoughts. If you're not your mind, you're not your thoughts. We're always greater than the sum total of anything that we think we are. We're greater. And we are so great that our mind cannot comprehend how great we are. Our mind cannot comprehend the magnificence that is in each one of us. We cannot comprehend that because we've been told for so long that we are poor human beings and that we are only human beings. And we use that as an excuse. Well, that's only human to do that. It's human to err. It's this and that. And we blame it on this condition that we call human. So don't blame it on being human. Blame it on not thinking correctly. All I'm thinking, oh, isn't that requires thinking correctly. As soon as you change your thinking, everything changes. The mind gets in an habitual pattern. The mind hates to give up anything. So it holds on to all that stuff. And you keep thinking that it's real. And it's not real. You can hang on to it from now till doomsday. And it will not be real. It is not real. So it's time for us all to grow up spiritually. It's time for us to stop saying, well, maybe someday I will believe that. Maybe someday, if I live long enough, maybe the next generation things will change. We have to make the change right here and right now. And we make that change by realizing that we are connected with this one thing that we call God, or this power for good. And we have to realize that that power for good wants to come through us. It wants to help us in every way. It always wants to support us, and it wants to give us the very best thing. We have to realize that we are so loved and so taken care of that anything that we want, we can have. And that's across the board. That means everything in your life. And that's the wonderful news. And we all have that within us. And it's time now for us to accept that and to find that in ourselves. Okay? Race mind alert. My race mind alert today is, it's all over the buses I see, and it says, life takes Visa. Life takes Visa. Life has nothing to do with a Visa card, a credit card. My idea of credit cards, I think that they're a wonderful thing. But credit cards have a very negative connotation about them. And most people, myself included, have gotten themselves into credit card debt. I happen to be out of it at the present moment and have no intentions of ever getting back into it again. But it's one of those wonderful things that the world has out there to once again grab you and control you by telling you that life takes Visa. Get a Visa card and then your life will really start because you'll be able to charge up all these bills and you'll just have a wonderful life. It doesn't tell you that you have to pay those bills and that you're going to start worrying and the whole works about them. But you cannot look at your life or look at life in general and say, life takes Visa. Life takes courage. Life takes imagination. Life takes strength. It does not take Visa. So that's one of the little insidious things that are out there in the world to convince you. You must remember that the world always wants to take your money from you. It does not want you to have money. It wants you to be spending money constantly. But it doesn't want you to keep your money. And it'll think of every way to get that money away from you. It'll tell you all kinds of things, that you'll get pleasure if you have this drink, that you'll be sexier if you buy this dress, that this will happen and that will happen. It will entice you constantly to spend your money. Don't do it. Don't do it. Change your idea about all that. And just don't do it. We can retrain ourselves. But the idea that a credit card could do anything about life is insanity. Life is an inside job. It starts on the inside. You must do that for yourself. Anything that you're using to make you happy on the outside is not true happiness, nor will it last. It just won't. The world will tell you that it will, that you'll be happier once you have this product. No, you must be happy just the way you are. You must be happy with nothing. You must be happy with everything. You just must be happy. That is one of the intrinsic qualities that we have, is to be happy. It's also the natural state of human beings to be happy. But we are told that we're not happy. We're also told if we get too happy, something horrible will happen to us. don't fall for that one either. That's another lie that the world is telling you. So, with that, is everyone still doing affirmations? Good. Are you doing treatment work of any type? Good. And I know your affirmations are working, aren't they?
Yes.
Good. And you're doing wonderful, though. People here are doing wonderful, and these affirmations really work. So do them. I have a card here. I had a client that came to see me. And these cards, by the way, are Abraham cards. And Andy had given them to me, and he drew this card. Whatever abundance I seek is mine. It's the law. So on the other side, on the opposite side, it says, whatever I desire and then allow, I must experience. This, there is no exception to that. As I hold myself in vibrational alignment with my own desire, I will experience in all ways the fulfillment of that desire. So I said to the young man who pulled this card, I said, what is the most important thing that you read on this card? I just read it to you. What is the most important thing that I read on this card?
Vibrational alignment. Allow.
Yes. I'll read it again. Whatever I desire and then allow, I must experience. In anything that you're doing, you must allow it to happen. You can do affirmations, you can do treatment work, you can do anything. And if you're not getting what you're asking for, it's because you're not allowing it to happen. This thing that we call God allows everything to happen.
So what if you're not getting it and you don't know what you're doing that's not allowing it, then what do you do?
Aha. You sit down and you say to yourself, I allow this to happen. And I remove every block in my consciousness that would hold this back from me. I am now clear to receive my greatest good. But you must allow it. The other thing that you can say besides allow, you must give yourself permission to have what you want. Most people never give themselves permission to have something because they've been taught not to wish that, not to do that, and not to even think about that. So they don't give themselves permission. So if you don't give yourself permission and allow something to happen, here again you can do treatments and affirmations till the cows come home, and it's not going to help you. You're totally in charge of this whole thing. Once you do a treatment and so forth, yes, it goes in to the law of cause and effect. Yes, it's in the mind of God. But you are the one then who has to allow it to come back to you. You must give yourself permission then to receive that. And you do that also by knowing that when you make a treatment or an affirmation, it is already done. It is completely done. Everything is already done in mind. Everything is done in the mind of God already. That's why manifestations can be instantaneous. Because you don't have to look for anything. It's already done. But our mind tells us, oh, I must wait till next week for it. Or I must wait till this happens and that happens. That's because we live on a plane of action here that has to do things in sequence. But it only does things in sequence if you're living under the Newtonian law, which means Newton's law. Newton was 1, 2, 3. 1 and 1 equal 2. That is a law, but it's not the only law that's going on in physics. So, the world still lives in a mechanical universe. They think that the universe is mechanical. The universe is alive. It is not mechanical, any more than your body is mechanical. People would like to think that their body is like a car. You can just change parts whenever you want and do this, that, and the other thing. No. We're much more than a mechanical thing. We're pure spirit encased in these sacks of skin. That's all. So don't fall for that one either. And if you're having trouble with different things, ask yourself, what law am I under? Am I still believing the Newtonian laws of physics? Or can I stretch myself out? Can I start doing... can't think of the word. The new physics.
Quantum.
Yes, thank you. Quantum physics, which will bring you faster what you want, because it doesn't work in sequence. If you're under this law that works in sequence, then you're going to have to wait. But if you can move yourself to the other one, you won't have to wait. The world teaches Newtonian physics, and it will continue to do that for a long time to come, because everything is set up for the Newtonian. It's not set up for the quantum physics. It'll eventually get there, but not right now. So, think of those things when you're out there doing things, okay? So, that brings us right up to treatment. And I will do a treatment for you. I'll do it in the first person. All those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. There is only abundance and prosperity in the universe. And I am one with that abundance and prosperity. And I allow myself to have it. There is no shame in having it. There is no guilt in having it. There is only joy and pleasure. And I love joy and pleasure. And I love abundance and prosperity. And I love money. So I allow myself to have it. I open my consciousness. I open my heart. I open my whole being to receiving, knowing that my abundance and prosperity comes to me from every channel in the universe. I never limit myself. I have unlimited sources, and I use every one of them. And I let that be so, and so it is. Tonight's topic is backstory. And for actors, you'll know what that means. And why did I pick that? Because every one of us has a story. There's a sign from a newspaper I know. There's a story inside of every one of us. And this is true, that there's a story inside of every one of us. But it's not the story we're telling, is it? We have a wonderful story inside of us. We have a magnificent story inside of us. But we like to tell the poor, sad story. We like to tell people what our life and how miserable it was. We just love to tell stories. Stories have nothing to do with your life whatsoever. Give them up. They don't mean anything. They're not worth a hill of beans. It doesn't matter where you were born. I mean, that's fun, that's nice and all, but that's not going to get you where you want to go. Any story that you tell keeps you out of the now. It takes up time. It's absolutely useless. And to get to the present moment, you have to go through your story. So, you don't want to keep wasting my time, your time, and everybody else's time by always telling the story to get to where you want to go. What do I mean by that? Can you do that? Well, you know, my mother taught me that da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you come up with a story. Didn't ask you that. I said, can you do the damn thing? Either do it or don't do it, but don't give me a story of why you can't do it or why you can do it. But we're loaded with stories, and we think that all the stories that we tell are real. And they're not real. They're a story that's a backstory, and you're making that up all the time. They appear to be real because you lived those experiences. But you can change any of the experiences that you had in life by changing what you think about them, you see. Many people have a story, I can't do this, that, or the other thing because I don't have an education, I don't have this, I can't do that, you can't meet them. That's only a story. It has nothing to do with anything. But every story we tell, we convince ourselves that that story is true, and that's why we're not doing what we're doing. Because we come up with a story to stop us every time. Don't come up with stories. Just do it. Just do it. Isn't that Nike? Just do it. Because we can't, stories you can come up with up one side and down the other. And they don't help you in any way. They never help. And it doesn't matter. To live in the present moment is what matters. And to know that the only power there is in the present moment. And that is the starting point. If the starting point is the present moment, why do we have to know the backstory? The backstory is not going to do it for you. The present moment is. And then you start over in that present moment, and you start over in the next moment. Now, I'm not saying forget what happened to you since you were born. I'm telling you it's not important. It's not important what happened to you. You get over those stories. You don't tell those stories to yourself all the time. And you learn to tell a different story about yourself. That you're great, that you're marvelous, that you're this, that you're that. And you let all that other stuff go. I think it's Course in Miracles says, argue your limitations and they will be yours. And people love to argue their limitations. They never argue their valued things, what they can do. They always argue, I can't do that because of this, this, and this. I can't. And then they become yours. If you have anything in your mind now that you think that you can't do something because of something else, let that go. It means nothing. It means nothing. All power is in the present moment. It doesn't come from a backstory at all. It comes from right now. And this thing that we call God that we have been taught, that somebody up there is keeping a record and remembering everything, that's twaddle. Give it up. God does not remember. God does not remember. Why does God not remember? Because God always lives in the now. God always lives in the now. And that's where the power is. But we remember. So we think, oh, God must remember that I did that nasty thing when I was 12. You know? No. God does not remember that. God does not do things like that. God only loves, and then loves again, and then loves again, and just keeps loving. And that's what you have to remember. You have to remember how much we are loved, how much you are loved, each and every one of us. That there is nothing that we can do that will offend God, that will cause God not to like us anymore. That's an impossibility. Because God and I are one. God and you are one. We're all one with God. God does not do that to its own self. God only sees love, only knows love, only gives love, and only wants to give you everything that you want. And if you're not getting what you want, don't blame it on God. Sit down and love yourself more. And make that mind of yours, convince it, that you deserve it, and that you're worthy and totally lovable of having that, and you will get it. The other thing, in the mind of God, there isn't what the world tells you, either or. Remember, you can do this or that. You can have this or that. It's either or, but you can't have it all, you can't do it all, you can't, but you can. In the mind of God, you can. God doesn't say, well, I'm going to give you that, so you're not going to get that. What are you, greedy? No. God wants to give it all to you. And what God gives to each and every one of us is ours. We're never taking away from anybody else, and we're never exhausting the supply. We're never exhausting the supply. It's like earlier when we said happiness. Happiness is everywhere. It never runs out. Happiness never runs out. If you're not happy right now, it's because you're not allowing yourself to experience happiness. You're telling yourself a story. You're telling yourself that you're sad, that somebody left you, that you can't pay the bills, that the traffic was bad, that this happened and that happened. And I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy. Your story did that. Your backstory did that. It had nothing to do with anything. But you listened to that story. And you believed that story. It's very convincing, isn't it? Stories are always convincing. And especially your own life story. It is important. This is my life. Oh, ho, ho, ho. No, it's not important. The only thing that's important is the present moment. It's the only thing that you have is this moment. And in every moment you decide who you are, what you want, how you're going to feel. Am I going to live in bliss? What am I going to do? You're deciding that moment by moment by moment. You're creating yourself moment by moment by moment. If you're doing the same thing or having the same problem that you had yesterday, it's because you have drug it into the present, into the now. If you don't drag your problem from yesterday, it no longer exists. Do you think yesterday exists? Do you think the future exists? Speculation, people. Speculation. How do we know there's a future? Well, somebody told me there was. You know, I watched other people. They're older than I am, so there must be a future. It's only speculation. We don't know if there's a future. We just keep moving in that direction. Oh, I could tell you that, but I will quickly. Don't get confused. We're never moving. We can't move because we're always in the now. We're not moving. The illusion is that we're moving. See, time is never passing. We're passing through time. We only grow old because we see other people growing old. There's no need to grow old. But we do it because that's the future, isn't it? It's all projection. We just think that there's a future. But there's only ever the now, because where is the future and where is the past? In the Bible it says, let the dead bury the dead. That means that all that stuff that went on, bury it and let it die and let it where it was. But we have a habit of getting our shovels out and digging all that stuff up again. And this is the reason why I said these classes are very important at this time of year. This is the time when people will drag out all the shovels from the past. Just go home and they'll start to tell you what you did and what you didn't do and what happened. And they'll just keep digging all that stuff up again. Do you remember when? Do you remember? And they just keep digging that up, thinking that that's very important. Go ahead.
But some of it's fun and pleasant. And
some of it is fun and pleasant. And I'm not telling you not to dig up the fun and pleasant things. What I'm telling you is to avoid it. But here it is. Once you start digging one thing up, doesn't something else start to dig up also?
Not always.
All right. Not always.
Don't make me tell you a story.
Don't tell a story, no. No, it's wonderful to reminisce. It's wonderful to do these things. But here again, when you're doing that, and it's very fun, and that's what the mind wants to tell you, and that's what the world wants to tell you, that it's very fun to do that. You're not in the now. You're not in the now. You've just given that over to something else. But if you have fun doing it, please do it. I used to have fun gossiping. I still love to gossip. I think it's fun to gossip, but I don't do it. But it's fun, isn't it? We don't get fun gossiping. But we just don't do it, you know, because it doesn't serve us anymore. It's not what we want to do with our lives. We want to move up in consciousness. We will always want to move up in consciousness so that we can have the life that we want. Inside of each and every one of us, we have an ideal life going on, an idea of what we want. Why will we not allow ourselves to have that? Why do we do that to ourselves?
Okay, we answered it with your story. We answered that very question.
If you answered that story?
If I ask myself, why do we do, then I'd be saying my own story.
Yes, you would be saying.
Okay, now I do have a little concern, because I'm trying to broaden my consciousness around money, the container part of it, and have these great escrows closing all at the same time, and I'm like, part of me goes, whoo, and the other part of me goes, ha-ha, like, because of the you know, is my consciousness ready for all this abundance, monetary, to come to me at the same time? Part of me, one minute I'm like, yes, I'm ready, and the other part of me goes, oh my God. So I need to know how to handle it.
Yes.
We're going to some of it.
Yes, she'll have to handle it.
Well, Lou, giving it to somebody and say, please, no. take this.
You have to prepare yourself right. for that. And you have to see that money coming to you. And you have to know what you're going to do with that money. And you know you're not going to be a fool with that money. And that money's not going to slip through your hands and so forth. That you have stretched your consciousness enough. You see what happens with people when they get money. They can get tons of money, but their consciousness isn't there to accept it. That's why people who win the lotto only keep it 6 months to a year and it's all gone. Because they've never stretched their consciousness to what to do with that money, how to handle that money, how to feel with that money. So start doing that. Did you go to the bank and get money wrappers?
No, I will.
I went and they didn't have them.
Insist.
I did. I said, you don't have money. She came back with quarter things. The quarter thing.
No. Tell her you went dollar bills, $100 bills.
I told her. Washington Mutual.
No. I would say, I don't believe this is a bank. Well, if you can get them, get them. But sit down and know what you're going to do with that money. And yes, it's a wonderful gift. But what happens is, in your mind, you say, ah, can I handle? Because we all say, oh, yes, just bring it on. I'll know exactly, and I'll be able to handle it. And you aren't able to handle it. You don't have one iota of what to do with that type of money.
I was listening to Mark Victor Hansen the other day, and he quoted somebody, I can't remember who it was, said that if you're going to get $1 million, get $1 million consciousness real
yes.
quick.
You have to get $1 million conscious. I'll tell you, last week, my mind was stretched twice. Conscious, money consciousness. A young lady told me that she just got a new job. And I never ask people, well, how much are you making? She volunteered. $162,000. Now, I thought, oh, my, that's a nice sum of money, right? 2 days later, I ran into another friend of mine who said to me, I just got a retainer for $350,000. And I'll get another one in 6 months for more. 162 a year, I'm thinking, oh, isn't that wonderful? 350,000 retainer 6 months, but I'm going to get a bigger one in the next 6 months, even a bigger one. And you have to be able to grow with that and know where that's going.
You have a small money, not you, but in general, a person me, has a small consciousness, and worry about the small, stupid things, to raise it.
Stop worrying about the small, stupid things.
Okay, and replace those thoughts with feelings of abundance?
Yes, and see abundance around and go to abundant places and so forth. Have you been to Rodeo Drive lately? Go look around and see what they're doing. You don't have to buy any of that stuff. The last time I went last Christmas, and that I went into the Prada store,
yeah,
and there was that coat thrown on the floor, and I said, "Oh my, how much is that coat?" The woman said, "Well, it's on half price a day. You can get it for $3,000, $6,000." Have you been to that store? They just throw things on the floor.
Yeah, it goes online to Prada.
They have more. He gets them from online. Well, he's pretty good. But that's the way to stretch your consciousness. You have to see it around, and you have to be around people. I think it's absolutely wonderful that in last week, people told me something. I mean, my mind went chum, 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 like that.
I did a expanding exercise that worked for me very nicely.
Oh, good.
That I'd like to share.
Yes, absolutely.
You tell us if it's good or not. But I went inside, and we all kind of live in boxes.
Yes.
Bigger or smaller,
yes.
But we all live in boxes. So I went inside, and I imagined my box where I lived. And I imagined it with invisible walls, like I could see through them. So I could see what was inside my box and what was outside my box. So I could test where my consciousness was. And I realized that a lot of the things I wanted were outside of my box. So I just visualized my box that had those kind of see-through walls on top and everything, just expanding until all the things I wanted were in the box with me.
And that's a wonderful tool to use. And that works every time for people. Because if you can put yourself into that plexiglass box and see what's inside, but be able to look out and see what you really want, you'll realize why you can't have that. Because as you go, if you don't expand the box, you're going to run into it, the wall, every time. It's going to stop you. You could only ever go as far as your belief system will take you. Only ever as far as your belief system can take you. That's why if you're not getting what you want, it's because your God is too small. So you kick your God out and you get a bigger, better God. You kick down the walls of your box and you get a bigger box to live in. And we're always going to be living in boxes. They're just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Because we always have to live in our belief system. And what is in your belief system? You see, can you believe that you can make $1 million? And is it in your box, or are you looking out through the glass and it's on the other side of the glass? If it's on the other side of the glass, then you have to move the glass past it, and then past again and past again. And that's what happens to people. We see all the stuff around us and we want, but we can't get to it because we keep running into our belief system. And the belief system is the walls that you have.
Well, I was in Palm Springs, and yesterday morning, Ricky and I walked around this one neighborhood, and I saw this house that I just really loved. And so I called Jules this morning. I said, well, I found a house that was 1.49. And she goes, okay, good. Well, we'll go out someday and we'll just drive around and look at houses. Instead of like a past thing, you know, you call somebody and it's like, oh, yes, right, you could certainly have that. And those kind of
things. That didn't even enter my mind to say that to you.
Right. And that's the consciousness being prepared. Can we go out and buy that house tomorrow? No. But the consciousness is.
And you can grow into it, and that's what we're always doing. Remember, when you make a treatment, you then must live at the level of that demonstration. If you say, I'm a millionaire, then you must start living at that level of demonstration. It doesn't mean you go out and spend a lot of money to do that, but you go out and start to see how somebody with $1 million lives. Because if you don't know how they live, what are you going to do with it?
Wait a minute. My thing, for me, personally, is not to have to work for the rest of my life. That, for me, in a job or something that I have to be in, that to me is more important than the things I have. Because I'm around people with a lot of wealth all the time. So I get confused because I watch those same people that are making $100 million. They have to make $1 million now. They own houses here, here, and here, and they have cars, and they have this, and they have that. And I'm like going, I don't necessarily want all that stuff, like, and spend all my money living that life. I want to spend my money traveling and living, volunteering, and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So I get a little confused when you say that.
Why?
Because when I make $1 million, I don't necessarily want to live how I know the people they live to their. It's all relative. They need that. They need to make $1 million every year in order for them to live that lifestyle. And I don't want that. I want to live my simple lifestyle and be able to go
find another millionaire. There are other millionaires that live lives. In fact, Millionaire Next Door. Read that book.
Yes.
It's all about
Millionaire Next Door. Is a wonderful book.
Phenomenal book.
Yeah. And you can have that. So you're always looking at millionaires like the rich and famous. I'm not talking about that.
I know who you're looking at,
but that's a different thing. Yeah.
And no, I don't want to be that kind of.
But you don't have to be. I'm not telling you to be that.
Because I was like.
No, make the money, be what you want, but you have to stretch your consciousness. You have to see yourself then on the trains, planes, buses, traveling to the different places and all.
Well, and the other thing, not every millionaire is living their lives like the people that you know live their lives. There's a fact that the vast majority of millionaires are not. The vast majority of millionaires are living lives just like you and me. They're living in a house they've lived in for 45 years, and they're just rocking and rolling. You know, they're not living with all the trappings, you know.
Yes, and one of the most famous billionaires who does that is Warren Buffett.
Right.
Nebraska.
He's lived in his same house since he bought it.
Yep.
Very small. Now, he does have his own private jet.
I like that.
But he has to have that to run around and do the business work that he has. He gives himself that concession. Mm-hmm. He's also wonderful because he's just given half of his money away, his wealth away. He and his wife do not believe that it's good to load all that money on to their children.
Right.
He thinks that the children should learn to do it themselves. He did it all himself. Raymond Charles Barker, who was a religious scientist, wrote a book called The Power of Decision, and also had a very... prosperous church in New York City at Alice Tooley Hall. He could fill Alice Tooley Hall on a Sunday. He's since made his transition. But he said, never sit around waiting for somebody to give you money, thinking that your parents should give you money when they die or whatever they're doing. That money is their money. It's not your money. You have no claim on that money whatsoever. Many children think that they can claim their parents' money. Don't think that you can claim your parents' money. It's their money. It's not your money. Know that you can have your own money. And how do you get your own money? Well, we say by working. No, by stretching your consciousness, by realizing that you're worthy and deserving and totally lovable. When you realize that, money will come to you. And then you'll use that money the way you want and not imitate somebody else's life unless you want to do that. Do you want the big home? Do you want the cars and so forth? No, I don't want any of that stuff. I love what I'm doing and where I am, and I'm living an abundant, prosperous life. Does it mean I have $1 million in the bank? No, but I have a rich consciousness, and I keep my consciousness always thinking of that. And I always tell myself every morning that I live in opulence. And I have my 3 cups of coffee in the morning and look around my place and say, huh, you're right. You live in opulence. And I remind myself of that. And the more I remind myself of that, the more things keep coming to me. Absolutely. That Buddha, an artist friend in New York sent me this.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
An original. She made it just for me. I'm going to have
it. I'm going to put an opulent frame on it.
Yes. And she's going to put an opulent frame on it for me. But things come to me that way. And that's what you have to remember. Yes? You had a question?
I just wanted to say that for the record, there is one student that does very much desire to live in extreme extravagance.
You. Good. Well, I think that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
And
I'm going to come visit you and help
you.
Yeah, don't forget us.
I love to visit people with money.
Yeah.
You know, us, I can stay a week or two, you know.
There'll be plenty of rooms.
Good.
Oh, good. Italy would be nice.
But the thing is, looking at that, like what I mentioned, that house, in the past it would have been because of having
not for
that
you.
House. And now I looked at that because it was quiet,
right.
Private, beautiful yard, and I look at it from a completely different perspective, living extravagantly from a completely different
yes.
perspective, but not having to.
Right.
And also not working 80 hours a week,
yeah.
too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to.
No.
And when you looked at that house, your mind didn't say, oh, you can't.
No.
It's and that's what you hear. That's how
absolutely.
You find out how far you have stretched your consciousness. Doesn't mean you have to own it, but you have to listen. If you look at a house that's $1 million and your mind says, well, you'll never be able to afford that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is when you have to argue with your mind. This is when you have to tell it to shut up. Go back to the nothingness from whence it came. You have to establish yourself and say, no, I am rich. And I have a rich consciousness. And that's how you do it. This weekend I went around in Pasadena, right over the bridge, the old hotel,
mm-hmm.
all the cabins now are refurbished and opened. I went to see them all.
Yeah, we looked at those.
Right. The small one,
yeah.
a one bedroom.
We looked at that one.
Yeah.
1.3 million, I think.
Where is this?
In Pasadena. And it's only
right by the Colorado Bridge.
Yeah, right by the Colorado Bridge. I wouldn't want them, would you?
Oh.
On that one that I said to the man of the breakfast nook, my God, if you open up a window, a car would take it off. and it's right on the bridge. Absolutely, you could sit there.
You can buy the ones that are under the bridge, so that those are where people jump on. You'd be having bodies jump through.
Yes, the whole.
However,
place,
they still sell.
They are selling.
They will.
Well, I forget how many she told me they already had sold.
Yeah.
And never people will buy them.
They're beautiful, but
so there's tons of money out there.
Yeah.
So look around at those things. Go to those things. See what's out there, and see what your mind's saying to you. I can't afford that. I can't do this. I can't do that. No, you have to know that you can afford it. When your mind does that, you say, I'm choosing not to purchase that right now. But you never say you cannot afford something.
Mm-hmm.
You're just choosing at the present moment not to purchase it. And get your mind to do that for you. And then money will come in. But as soon as you close your mind, you see, you have to keep stretching when you don't. If you say, I can't afford something, I'm choosing not to. Now you have the freedom. It's back again. So it's keeping. All money comes from consciousness. Your money is your consciousness. You are your money. And developing a rich consciousness will bring money to you, not the other way around. So that's how this whole thing works. The universe corresponds to everything that you're doing and everything you are saying and everything you are thinking. It is corresponding to you with that. So think of what you're thinking. I'm an actor, I'm a this, I'm a that, you see. And Let it correspond. Let it bring that image back to you. That's all that's happening. It's just bringing it back to you. But you have to know that inside of yourself. And you have to know that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. And work on those. And if anyone here still doesn't think that, or has any little pang going off when I say that, and think, well, I don't have those three solved, or I have two out of the three solved, but I'll work on the other one later, but I'll get all this other stuff first, and that'll take care of itself. It won't. It won't. This is step one. Lovable, deserving, and totally worthy. That's step one. If you don't get step one, you cannot go to step two. You can go to step two, but you won't be able to manifest anything. Oh, you'll have a lot of knowledge. This whole thing is a feeling that you have to have. You have to experience this for yourself. I can tell you all these things, but till you really experience them, you don't know it. You have to experience. The same way when we talk about God. You can talk about God all day long, but if you have never experienced it, you don't know God. God is an experience, not a nice story that we tell. It's a total experience. And we can do that. We can have that experience. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.